Welcome everybody to the morning session on spatial and temporal reasoning. And our first talk will be by Roland Bielen, and he will talk, it's a talk together with Eliseo Clementini, and he will talk about projective relations in a 3D environment.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm going to present you today some of the outcomes of our work on projective relation, work with research we've been doing with Eliseo Clementini for almost 4 years now. And well, especially today, I'm going to present you these outcomes about these projective relations in a 3D environment. Okay, that's the outline of my talk today. I will start with telling a few things about the background and motivation of the work. And then I've decided to introduce or recall, for the people who know them already, the ternary projective relationship among points and region in R2. I thought it was better to fix the idea in two dimension and then move to the 3D extension. And then you can see that it's in blue. That's the new material, the ternary projective relation and the quaternary projective relation for points and bodies in R3. And I will conclude with some further research direction. Okay, at this level, I have to say I've decided not to put too many formulas and not much math here in the presentation. I try to stay at an intuitive conceptual level. So for the one who wants to have all the formal rules, proof, and so on, you can go and have a look to the paper, discuss with me this subject later on. Okay, background and motivation. Well, our work is, we think in the field of qualitative spatial reasoning, and we have decided to investigate projective geometry. So what is projective geometry in short? You can say that it's a geometry which is more specific than topology and a bit less specific than metrics. So you've got this little example here. Look to the first case, these two regions, when if you want to see if they are disconnected or not, well, topology is enough. It's a topological property. Now, if you look to the second region, if you want to see if there is some concavities there, well, these are convex concepts, and then you need to be in a projective geometry. And, well, of course, at the end, if you want to identify this as a square, well, you need some metric properties, measure of angles, and so on. So why have we decided to investigate this specific geometry? Our aim was to define as many spatial qualitative relations, you know, as we can find within this particular geometry. So you all know the topological relations, such as inside and touch and so on. So for example, lakes, select all the lakes that are inside Scotland. But then we thought that maybe we could formalize relationships such as between, surrounded by, right off, above, with using projective geometric concepts. And of course, you may have also qualitative relation using metric information such as Edinburgh is east of Glasgow and things like that. Our work is based on one particular projective invariance, which is the collinearity, this collinearity concept. So I guess everybody knows what it means. If you have three points belonging to the same line are said to be collinear. And really, all our model is based on that. We have two reference objects. We consider two reference objects here. If you take the left side example, so 2 points. And these two reference objects, we are going to use them to build a partition of the space, a projective partition of the space. And then when we've got this projective partition, we are looking to the position of a primary object regarding to this partition. And that's why we have called our relationship ternary, because we have three objects. In the concept. And the same goes for the regions. We also, that's the same idea, trying to find a way to express collinearity among regions and then look at the position of a primary object. Okay. Why have we decided to extend that into 3D? I may say, well, why not? Because we thought we no real limitation to do that. And also, I'm very keen about 3D, so it was a way to continue to work on that. But more seriously, we can say that we believe that it could be used for 3D spatial analysis within 3D GIS, could be of some interest for robot navigation or any kind of navigation in geographic environment. Okay, now I will introduce, or so it's maybe a reminder for some people here, this ternary projective relationship among points in R2. So the concept is rather simple. So you have, just first have a look to the right side. So you have two reference points, Y and Z. We can build a line. So this, there is this collinear partition, then the line passing through Y and Z. If you introduce a direction from Y to Z, you are then able to refine a little bit this collinear relationship between a before relationship, a between relationship, and an after relationship. And then this line divides the plane into two half planes, and that gives us a partition for something we have called left side and right side. The diagram on the left is for degenerated cases. In the case of Y and Z being same point, we, of course, any other points will be collinear to these two to these two points, and then we have a proposed two relationship, which is outside and inside. So that's kind of summary of the thing. So as you can see, you are either collinear or not, so collinear or aside. Then the collinear could be subdivided into, let's say, for the general cases, into a between and a non-between relation. The non-between relation, introducing this direction, we can specialize it into a before and an after. And the aside is also, aside could also be specialized into a right side and a left side. And then we have the degenerated cases inside and outside. And that means that we end up with a set of 7 jointly exhaustive pairwise disjoint relationship for points, for 3 points in R2. So now, move on to the regions. Well, it's exactly the same process, the same concept here, except that we had to find a way to express collinearity among regions. And there are different ways to consider a collinearity amongst regions. We've decided, we made a little study about that, but we've decided to adopt one particular, and you can, so that means that we end up with what we call a collinearity zone. And this collinearity zone can be obtained by, it's somehow bonded by the internal tangents and the external tangent to the two reference objects, B and C. So these are external tangent on the right side and the internal tangent in the, sorry, left side and right side. And we end up with a partition of the plane in 5 pieces. So we have this collinearity zone, which itself could be divided in different zones, also taking into consideration this direction between object B and object C. So the collinearity zone could be divided into a before zone, a between zone, which is a convex hull of B and C, and an after zone. And then the aside zone is divided into a left side and a right side zone. And on the right side, we have the degenerated cases where the two reference object has non-disjoint convex L. So we have built a little, a little matrix here, allowing to, you know, then checking where the point or the object A is gonna be. So if A is as some intersection with the left side zone, well, then we consider that as a one. And if there is no intersection, it's zero. We know it's pretty usual to do this kind of thing. So we have a kind of code at the end to express our different relations. Okay, and we end up with somehow exactly the same basic relationships than the one we have found for points. So inside, outside, between, before, after, right side, and left side. But in case of region, the GEPD relationship number is 34, because you may have combination of these relationships. Of course, you may have a region A, which is at the same time right side and before. So here are the 31 relationships. The remaining three are the ones related to the degenerated cases. So you can see that here, well, we have different possible position of the primary region A regarding the two object, reference object B and C. Okay, that was it for R2. Now move to R3. And we're going to start with points. So we just have a look at what happened with this ternary projective relationship among points. Well, it's almost the same that in R2, except that we don't have any more the specialization of the aside relationship. That's pretty straightforward. If you look to this diagram, of course, the line joining Y and Z does not partition the space into two R space anymore, because it's a line in a 3D space. So we somehow lose some kind of information there. So we end up with one less relation, so six GEPD relations, aside, before, after, between, inside, and outside. Okay, now let's start thinking about bodies now in R3 and looking what would be this ternary projective relationship for bodies. It's always a bit the same story, I have to say. It's the generalization of the same relation among points. And if you remember what I've done there with in R2 with region, the idea is quite the same. What we are going to trying to define a collinearity subspace in this case, and we have a definition for that, and this collinearity subspace can be, if you want, built considering internal and external planes, tangent planes, to the two reference bodies. So on the left side, you have an internal tangent planes to the bodies, the green and the red one, and on the right side, you have the external tangent planes. And at the end, we are able to define this collinearity subspace, which in this case, you know, it looks like a big a cylinder and a cone. You may have different kind of shapes, of course. And if you consider a direction from the object, the body's B to the body B to the body C, you may subdivide this collinearity subspace into different parts, first of all, a non-between and a between subspaces, and then divided the non-between subspaces into a before subspaces and after subspaces, and so on. So we end up with exactly the same basic relationship than for points, inside, outside, before, after, and aside. And in this case, the GEPD relations are, we have 18 GEPD relation, because it was like it was the case for region in R2, we may have combination of relations. So you could be at the same time, a body A could be at the same time aside and before, for example. I'm going to show you here a few examples. So starting from the left one, you can see that this A sphere is, well, I've tried to draw that. It's not easy to draw things in 3D, but okay, you have the idea that it's within the before subspace. Then it's within the between subspace. And the last one is this kind of combined case where the object A is at the same time in the aside subspace and within the before subspace. Okay. Well, I think you maybe try to see where we want to go in this three-dimensional space because of course, well, we're going to move to another, using another concept, another projective concept, no more collinearity but coplanarity, and start thinking about that with points. It's always easier. So three non-collinear points define one and only one plane in the space. You all know that, and that's the concept of coplanarity. Such a plane, which is called an hyperplane, divides the whole space into two regions called half spaces. Then you can get that we are back to this subdivision of the space into two parts. So depending on the order of the three reference points, the plane can be oriented in R3. And we have a clockwise, anti-clockwise, and so on. That means that the two half spaces could be said to be positive or negative. So we make a distinction between these two half spaces. And based on this partition, then we can define this projective relation between a point and three reference points. So, of course, we need three reference points to be able to define this plane. And that's why we have called that quaternary, because we have four objects involved in the relations. And we have defined, with this quaternary relation concept, we have defined relationships such as above, below, what we've called internal, external, inside and outside. I'm going to show you that in a minute. And there are also GEPD relations in R3 for points. Okay, the figure diagrams now. Well, first case, so you have X, Y, Z are the reference points, so they define the plane. The first case, we have the W point, which lies on the plane, so the W is going to be coplanar with X, Y, and Z, and then you see the other relation, the next one. W is not in the plane, it is non-coplanar. This non-coplanar relation could be subdivided into an above and a below cases if you know the orientation. So if you have defined it a positive and a negative half space. The coplanar relation could be itself divided into what we have, well, we have decided to give this name. You know, it's been mathematically formally defined, but, well, the names, it's always a choice. We've called that internal and external, depending if the point W is within the convex hull of X, Y, Z or outside. And we still have these inside and outside cases which correspond to degenerated cases. And we end up with this. Okay. Three, when you can see finally the six GEPD relation, inside, outside, internal, external, below, and above. Okay, now move to bodies in R3 and this quaternary projective relationship among bodies. Same story, the concept of coplanarity between four bodies can be introduced as a generalization of the same relation among points. I put that, the formula, doesn't really matter about that, but it's really straightforward. You know, you can have a look to the paper, it's rather easy. But like it was the case in 2D, of course you have different, you may have different definition of what is the coplanarity between taking three reference bodies, of course. Well, we have decided to choose one of these possible definition. Okay, now a bit more drawings here. The concept of coplanarity subspace. So with 3 points we had a plane, with three bodies we are going to trying to build this coplanarity subspace. And there is a formal definition of that, but you can think about it as also like the case in 2D, like as bonded by an internal and external tangent planes. So I give you here, so you have to, I mean, I hope it's clear for everybody, but you have three bodies, B, C, and D. I give you one example here of external tangent plane to these three bodies. The right side diagram show you an internal tangent plane to these three bodies. And when you combine these things, you end up with, the limit of the coplanarity subspace. So here is red top, the top limit in blue, the bottom limit, and then you have the coplanarity subspace. And then that's the same thing. You can think about an orientation. So we have coplanarity, internal, external, and we have divided the space into a below and an above subspace. And at this stage, we have 18 GEPD relationships. Okay, and that's just an illustration of these, but I'm going to maybe we'll not skip, but you can see, well, one is external, the other internal. We have above and external and above. Try to make something which I hope you can see that there is a part of A which is within the coplanarity subspace. Okay, I'm going to skip that. That's just a formalization of the relations, not that important. Okay, further research now. Okay, that's a bit our, it's a piece of our research agenda, let's say, with Eliseo. And about our research in projective geometry. So algorithm for the computation of projective relation, we've done that, it's been published, we're very happy. Now, the next step, reasoning system for all the ternary relationship in R2, composition tables and proof. I'm happy to say that it's almost done. Really, it's almost done. We need another 2, 3, 4 weeks, I don't know. But we've been working on that for 2 years. We had the help of different people also to do that, for Spiros Skiadopoulos, a Greek colleague, and also Francesco Tarchini, which is here today, who's here today, and was a Eliseo, a PhD student. Extension to 3D, we've done that. And also, of course, we will have to do some reasoning system about this 3D relation. But I wish to finish with that. We also want to think a bit about, oh, we could also map this concept to some kind of specific environment. Okay, very quickly. Because that's very nice to have, well, to have defined these, formally defined these projective relations. But we want to see a bit how we could really use that. And these are just ideas, so it's very, you know, I have no definitive ideas about that. But just to show you, for an example for points, that's a map, that's a path, and you consider 2 points B and C. If I apply the ternary relationship for points, well, I'm going to have my collinear partition there, before, between, after, and so on. Well, but doesn't really correspond to the reality. And somehow it will be much more interesting to map this collinearity concept to the path, and then be able to say that the between, indeed the between part, is the one corresponding to the path between B and C, you see? Another thing is the 3D, this concept of being above and being below. I truly believe that you need three reference objects to define this concept to be above and to be below. But in real life, I mean, I don't think we need, I mean, I'm talking now, I can say that this balcony, it's above me and I don't need three reference objects and, you know, I've got a certain understanding of what is above and what is below. And so we could also imagine to simplify our model and have this built maybe this coplanarity subspace with some simplified or taking some assumption. For example, of course, taking the direction of gravity as one particular constraint. That could make things easier. Well, I will finish on that. So that's a bit more open question, and I think we will be able to discuss about also this mapping and simplification of the models. Thank you very much.